Well, good morning, everyone. Saint Francis of Assisi quoted these words: "Do all you can to preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." So here's a question for you. How can we be witnesses of our faith to someone else in the ordinary of our lives? And without saying a word. Let me share this story with you. I want you to imagine this. It is noontime at a construction site of a high-rise building, and a construction worker is on the 15th floor. Everything is still wide open. There's no walls, no windows. So it is lunchtime. He takes his lunch pail, and he goes off to a side right by one of the edges of the building. And he opens up his lunchbox, pours water into his glass. He uses a wooden pallet as a table. Then he pauses for a moment, and he bows his head and gives a heartfelt thanks of gratitude to God for the food he has yet to consume, for the sunshine, for the job which he has to support his family, for the tiredness from a well, hard work, honest morning of labor. And he does this because his lifestyle has been and always was one of thanksgiving. And praying was as natural to him as breathing. Now, as this is unfolding, just across from the construction site is an office building. And there's a man looking down out of a window. He too is on his lunch. He too was alone in his office, but his mind was full of worries about his job, his family, the surroundings in which he was living. Yet long ago, when he was a young boy, he prayed, but through the years, he pulled away from his heavenly Father. Now looking down from the window, his eyes caught the sight of the construction worker bowing down in prayer. And this anxiety-ridden man was suddenly convicted of his own separation from God. Later, after his conversion, again, this man looked back on this day as a point where he began moving towards God. But most beautiful thing about it is this: this ordinary construction worker never realized that he had made a powerful witness simply by giving thanks, bowing his head in prayer before his meal. When we look at today's gospel, when we dig a little deeper into the story, it reveals its true treasure to us. It exposes its true value to our hearts and soul. Back then, it was custom for a Jewish rabbi to teach his followers a simple prayer that they can regularly use. Now, the disciples of Jesus make this request to them, to Jesus. And then they use the argument that John the Baptist had done this also for his disciples. Interesting side note, it would have been very interesting to know what kind of prayer John the Baptist did teach his disciples, but I guess that's going to remain a mystery hidden from us. But in response to his disciple, Jesus does more than they ask, for he teaches them what to pray for, how to pray, and what results they can expect from the prayer. It might be interesting to noting that Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them how to pray and not a prayer to be said. And in response, Jesus says, "Say this when you pray." And what follows is what we know as the Lord's Prayer. The version we find in today's Gospel of Luke is shorter than the version we have in Matthew's. It may be indeed an earlier version closer to what actually Jesus said. But for centuries now, we've been reciting the Lord's Prayer that we find in Matthew's version. And we do so before communion and at every Eucharist. And for many of us here, probably before we go to bed at night. Yet when we look at it, the way it is presented by Jesus today, it is less of a prayer to be recited than a list of things around which our prayer should be centered. Each phrase, in a way, can stand on its own to be a topic of prayer in its own right. Think about it as a map for our souls. It begins when we say, Father. We address God as Father. We don't address Him as Lord or Master or Judge. We don't call Him the source of all being, Creator, but a much more personal term, Father. And St. Paul reminds us that this title is meant to be understood of the warmest and most intimate level. He tells us to call God Abba, Papa, title used affectionately by young children all over the world. And thus, we too are to address Him this way. But each of us, together, calling Him Father, there is a further implication, namely, that we are all His children, and thus also brothers and sisters to each other, member of one great family. And this is no pious imagining, but a fact. Unless we accept this fact, it will be difficult for us to call God Father. He is always our Father, never my Father alone. And that hour is totally inclusive, not allowing even for one exception. And we will see that the Lord's Prayer is much more than a prayer of petition. It is also a statement of who we are and what we are to God and to each other. We confirm or condemn ourselves every time we pray it. Something to think about. Then we say, may your name be held holy. For the Jews, a name is not simply a label indicating identity. It denotes the whole person. When Moses spoke to God in the burning bush, he needed to know God's name in order to know who he was. I am who I am. So here we are praying that God Himself, and not just His name, be revealed by all. And His holiness in no way depends on us. What we are rather asking is that God's holiness be acknowledged by all of us, not only by our words, but by the way we live our lives. In other words, it is a prayer that God's holiness be reflected in our own lives, the lives of every single person. Your kingdom come. The kingdom of God, we may understand it as a world which everything that God stands for becomes a reality in the lives of every person, everywhere. A world that is built on truth, love, compassion, justice, freedom, human dignity, and peace. We know it is God's will for such a world that should be shared and experienced by all. But this depends a great deal on our response and our cooperation. Some elements of the kingdom can be found in many places and in many communities. But we are only too aware that the world at large, that the kingdom is still far from being a reality. And much of the blame is with us. So in saying the invocation, we are not only calling on God's help, but reminding ourselves on working with God on making the kingdom a reality. Give us each day our daily bread. In the second half of the prayer, we pray more directly on our own needs, and we begin with the present needs. Notice that we ask today's bread, food for our needs of the day. Yet when we pray this, we also express our trust in a caring God. And it's also, we accept the challenge that comes with it. The responsibility that we must see that every person, that their needs are met for today. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive each other who is in debt with us. Here we pray in repentance for our past sinful actions. But this prayer is conditional, linking us once again to all those who are around us. We pray that God will forgive us for all the wrongs that we have done, because we already have forgiven all those who have felt they have done wrong to us. Again, it is a prayer that throws right back on ourselves. We are praying to share God's most beautiful quality, his readiness to forgive, not just 77 times 7, but indefinitely. Then we say, do not put us to the test. We pray for protection for future trials that might overwhelm us. Trials where we might fail and betray to follow him in our lives. It is a powerful and beautiful blueprint for our prayer life. However, Jesus does not stop with teaching the disciples how to pray. He is asking us to persevere in our prayer. When we really want something from God, we must keep asking. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and a door will be opened to you. For one who asks, always receives. Who searches, always finds. Who knocks, will have the door open. So here's an interesting question. If our Father cares so much to us, why do we have to ask so insistently? We continue to pray not because God has to be reminded of our wants. He does not need to be persuaded or to have his arm twisted to give us what we need. But he certainly does not always give us what we want. For our wants are often short-sighted and maybe self-centered. The way we pray and what we ask for can be extremely revealing of where we are in our relationship with God, with people, and with the world around us. Persevering prayer can help us become more aware of what we should really be asking for. It actually helps us purify our prayer, make clear our values and hopes, and lead us to ask what is really in our best interests. And that is the thing that we can be absolutely sure that God wants to give us. So here's my challenge, my ask for the week, for all of us. I'm going to ask you over the next 5 days to recite the Lord's Prayer. Find a quiet place, nice and slow, and each of the days that you recite the Lord's Prayer, I want you to stop and reflect on one word. On your first day, focus on the word Father, Abba. On the second day, Holy. On the third day, Kingdom. On the fourth day, Bread. And on the fifth day, Forgive. See where the Lord will be leading you. And I guarantee you, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, it'll change the way we do it, because we tend to just roll right off our lips and not truly understand the depth and value that this prayer has. And my best advice to you when it comes to prayer is simply this: just show up. Just show up for prayer, and you will be so surprised how the Lord will bless you. Hey, and you never know, just like that construction worker in the building for lunch, without even knowing it, witness his faith to somebody else and transform that person's life. Have a blessed week, everyone.